I feel violated. Like, I wasn't supposed to hear that.
Trust me, but I took out my headphones, bro.
I don't know what's like. Do you know what we should do on the thingy? Do you know what every wedding should do? Have you ever watched Mic'd Up?
Nah.
And I got a mic and I like to hear what the players are saying, like on the pictures. American football, Mic'd Up. I think that should do it on weddings. Like, have a mic for the bride and a mic for the groom to see what they say during the day.
Oh, man.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to do that stuff.
See what the bad things that they say. Can you imagine? Can't wait till later so that you go get it.
go get it. Go get your blessing. Go get it.
Can you imagine if you just like, I need to fart?
I think that'll be me. I'm gonna be thinking about Bunda on my wedding day, bro.
Bunda.
I'm gonna be thinking about
how my wife's Bunda is Bundering. Yeah. Mm.
What's going on? Nah, you'll be crying, man. You'll be crying. Man.
What? Are you
on
okay?
On wedding day. Cam, I can see it.
I ain't crying, man.
Crying for what? I'm happy.
Exactly.
Wesley cries. We all know Wesley's gonna cry, bro.
I know, yeah, Wesley's gonna
cry. 100%.
Yeah, but he's crying, though.
He's not gonna be. Really,
yeah, he's gonna laugh still.
he's gonna laugh still.
That nervous laughter, kind of.
Yeah.
Quite possible.
Fair play.
To everyone else, it looks like it's crying, so I don't care.
It's mad still. I'm gonna look away when you two lips still. I'm gonna look away still.
So, well, that's all.
I'm going to look. I'm gonna have my hands.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
Are you locked into the After Sundown Podcast?
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a mazzoline still.
Alright guys, so welcome back to another episode of the Sundown Podcast. Who we got on this episode today?
The main gang, you get me?
The main gang's back, no guests. Yeah, go away, you ain't guest.
Go away. Say something.
Foolishness. She ain't gonna say nothing.
Alright then.
She knows recording. She wants to cry as well. Anyway.
Speaking about mental health, making people cry.
So who we got on the episode today? We got start from
Big Sexy, you get me, Cam in the building.
And we got
Alvin in the building.
Why'd you put your voice lower, bro?
It's been sitting like that the whole it's been sitting like this the whole episode.
Okay.
Who else we got on the laptop?
It's joining guilty. Us virtually. Baby Thanos.
Jeez. That name's actually sticking now.
It's sticking, bro. That might as well be license plate stuff. Private plate and everything. Bruh. Baby Thanos.
You know what? Knowing her, Tilly will be able to afford that in the future.
I lie. BB Thanos, you know.
Yo.
Jeez, yo.
Yeah, you have to bleep that out, though, just in case someone might take it, bro.
Can't be giving people ideas.
All right, cool. So I think today we're talking about mental health, innit? Mm-hmm. And then I remember, was it the other week? And you was like, Cam, don't say mental health because it doesn't make sense.
No, but that makes, you said it in the right way.
Oh, okay, just okay, then, cool.
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay, cool. Because
we are talking about mental health, yeah.
Yeah, but what was the reason why you said it to me then, though?
It's because it's when people say, I can't think of the example now. Alvin, can you think?
No.
It's gone out of my head now. It's when people say...
Mental health. We were talking about mental ill health.
Yeah, but people using don't put the term. Ill part in.
Oh, okay. Some people will say, oh, that person has mental health.
Yeah.
Meaning mental ill health, but not.
Okay. Or just say like mental health problems.
Oh, yeah.
But no, you said it right. The point is, you said it right that time.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So I think we should start with the ages you became aware of mental health and it, like, because I feel like for me, it was quite recent well, not recent, like recent in the time I've been here on Earth. So probably when I started hearing about mental health, I was probably like maybe 17, 18. And it was just like, because of the course I did health and social care. So obviously learning about like people going through mental health distress, and like obviously there's mental ill health, and learning about some of like the big organizations that like do like really big studies, like WHO, for example. So that's when I kind of started learning about what like mental health was. Before then, I don't remember having an AY on mental health. I don't remember talking about mental health really like that. Trauma, stuff like everyone uses trauma now, you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, for me, that was kind of my introduction into what mental health is, isn't it? What was everyone else's introduction into it?
I think for me, mine was actually school. I didn't necessarily, secondary school, I should say, sorry. I didn't necessarily understand it at the time, but I had two people in my class who I was definitely close to some extent during secondary school. And they both definitely struggled with their mental health. Unfortunately, one of them is no longer here.
Really?
So that was really like sad and like a shock as well. So I definitely had an awareness of it probably from year 8, year 9. But I guess at that age, it was always a thing of, oh, something's not quite right with that person, but you don't necessarily attribute it to their mental health.
Okay.
And they were struggling with different things in their lives and stuff like that. So I think that was definitely my first exposure to it. But then obviously from like a personal point of view, I think, you know, like you'd go through like low periods of time when like things may not have gone your way, like during school or with friendships and stuff. But I guess for me, it was never enough to keep me down for like a long period of time. I think I definitely found it difficult to understand when people, I guess, were depressed or low, because it was like, oh, why can't you bounce back? If that makes sense. So I didn't necessarily understand that probably until I was like maybe in sixth form.
Okay. So what, like, go on.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask like in terms of, okay, so when that happened to your friend and stuff or whatever, and you was talking about like bouncing back, what do we think that like it's natural for us to like...
Resilience.
Is it, yeah, because that word gets thrown around as well, like resilience and like obviously Talif used the word like bounce back. So do you think like mental health is something that's like a constant line, or is it healthy in quote unquotes to kind of have your lows? What do you think?
Is it healthy to have your lows?
What do you think it is? What do you think about the lows?
My perspective is that the lows are inevitable and are inevitable, maybe not inevitable, but are likely and are part of life.
No, they are inevitable.
I think, and even in people whose mental health is, who are in good mental health, will have lows as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. My perspective on it, and I'm no expert in this at all, my perspective on it is that the difference between having poor mental health versus having good mental health, if I can put it that way, is in the response to say life events or moments that can bring our health low. Having said that, there is also the case where it could also be the case that a person can have their mental health is not may not be associated with any particular events, but they might, because of whatever, they are more prone or more susceptible to being in low not just low moods, but also to being sort of depressive, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm using the right words or if they.
No. I think you've kind of. So you said like it's basically. I also agree with you in terms of like it's inevitable, and agree with Talitha in terms of like it's like because you know what it is, because obviously when you're a kid everything's like, you know, brighter, everything's like new, and then like you go through life and you don't know what's going to happen, like literally tomorrow something different could happen, so you actually you don't know how you're going to react to stuff unless you've experienced it before. That's why like I'm a firm believer, I never say never in it. You get me? Like
what do you mean?
I will never say, yo, I would never cry, for example, if one of the man them died in it. You get me? Or I don't know my response. You get me? It could be something that I'd never even thought that I would do. You know what I mean? But I never say never. I just try and say, yo, let me try and live, like, be healthy, like, keep my mental state in a right place, and then hopefully I will have what would you call it, like a better response, or like a healthy response, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's how I try and lean into that. But I wanted to ask Talitha about like, so like, okay, so your friend obviously she took her life and that. You zoned out, bro. Yeah. So, like, what were like the signs of it? Because obviously, I know everyone's a bit different, but like, was there like anything that you saw in that? What would like be your advice to people as well?
I think it's hard. Obviously, not only just with what happened to my friend, but also the experience I've had on placement with like psychiatry and things like that. I think it's important for us as humans to recognize that you have, you know, things in your life that you have your challenges in your life that, you know, hopefully you can overcome. But the reality is that there are things that are out of your control and can cause you to go to a place where you didn't think you'd be. Like there's so much trauma that people can go through, whether it's childhood trauma, like the situations that people are raised in, like abuse, whether that be physical, verbal, emotional, whatever that is. And then of course there's predispositions as well. We've all got different personalities. You see it classically in terms of I may go through something, Cameron may go through something, and we may react to the same thing completely different because of our life experiences that we've had. And I think that's the thing with like mental health and things like that, is it's always hard to like to imagine what the person is going through, even if you could have the same diagnosis, for example. It's always hard because it's like, because there's so many different factors and different variables, it makes it different for a person. I don't know the details what it was with my friend, but yeah, I know she had like she did have like an eating disorder, and things like that, and yeah, there's a lot of pressure and stress that people go through, and if things aren't necessarily something not dealt with in time, some people never get that healing. And some people are just, it's just some of the stories you hear are just like so sad and heartbreaking, because it's just like, if you had have been raised in maybe like a different family, or if you had not have been there at that particular time and saw that particular like horrific incident, it wouldn't have made you the way how you are. Do you know what I mean? Like there's some things that can't be helped.
Yeah. I was gonna say there's this thing in that we call like in like practice and that, and it's called like toxic trio, innit? So like when you was talking about like witnessing certain things, and me and Alvin have had this conversation like many times, in it, what it comes down to is what you're surrounded by, innit? And what you feed into you basically makes you. Like, so they say there's these things called SCRs, like serious case reviews, and it basically, they go through serious case reviews when someone's died, innit? Normally when a child's died, innit? And so yeah, they have serious case reviews, and what they found was that basically people that obviously die in those certain situations or have like eating disorders and stuff like that have either parental mental health, domestic violence, or substance misuse of parents generally, innit? And this is to do with children. So like when you said like, sometimes you can't control what you see, especially when you're a kid. Like, you just have to be thankful sometimes that you're like, okay, man didn't have, you know, everything in terms of like money and stuff like that, but you had a state, like, generally all of us like here had like, we didn't have to witness certain things in it, you know what I'm saying? So like, it's, yeah, I think sometimes we just take stuff for granted, in it. Yeah, but I wanted to talk about in terms of mental health, in terms of social media as well, because obviously you was talking about trauma and stuff like that, and just other words that get what do you think about social media and talking about mental health? What do you think? Do you think it helps? Do you think it's negative? What do you think?
Go on
what you're saying, Justin.
Oh, now I'm saying it doesn't really help, because obviously in terms of social media now, like, you're always going to have two types of people. People who are going to like kind of be like, oh, I understand what you're going through, the kind of helping, empathetic people. Then you're always going to have them people that are just like, oh, like, why are you telling us for? We don't care. Stop faking it, at me. Stop trying to attention seek. That's the main one that you see people saying, clout chasing. So I just really feel like, but that's very subjective. It's like, that's just social media itself. Because obviously, for me personally, I wouldn't go to social media. One, because I'm not that type of person. And two, it's because like, I can just go to someone who I trust and someone who I trusted that information and be like, yo, this is what I'm going through. If you're now going to social media for like, for kind of mediation or a therapy session, then yeah, you ain't going to get what you actually want. You'll get like so much different answers and so much. Like,
I think I 100% agree with you, mate.
Literally. So you just literally get a whole different, like, a lot of stuff that wouldn't help you in the end. Because people are just going to send you down into probably a path that will have you spiraling even more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was just literally, I don't need to say anything because you said, like, the thing of, especially, okay, maybe I could add something. When he said, I think you're more likely to go to find, because of how social media is, their algorithms sort of, so if you take whatever platform you take, it will show you things based on, to a large degree, what you've been looking for. So that there are a lot of young people who have found themselves in on pages where people are promoting like pages that instruct, glorify, not just to glorify, instruct, talk through methods of self-harm, rather than like, so that rather than the problem being solved, a problem that was not quite severe can end up being more severe than it ended up being.
Do you know
what
I was going to add to that as well? In terms of when we talk about like depression, why are you depressed? Like, why are people all of a sudden becoming depressed? There's not, like, there's reasons behind
and
everything. There's reasons behind. I think it's twofold. So I think it's good because it shows that people are disclosing stuff about their mental health more. But then it's also showing that, like, you know, maybe there was more depression than we first thought. You know what I'm saying? Because, for example, in our like, for example, in my grandma's generation, bruv, you get me, like, no feelings were talked about, bruv. I don't care what you're talking about, bruv. West Indian culture. No feelings.
I agree.
What was depression, bruv? There was no such thing as depression. Therefore, if you know how you was talking about the census before taking statistics, they wouldn't put down depression or anything like that to do with that stuff. So we have to look at
a lot of them will say now. This is the thing. This whole thing of depression and things like that is, people think that, oh, to actually have depression, you know, you must have gone to a doctor to get a diagnosis. I disagree.
The
whole point is with mental health, just like with physical health, you have ups and downs. With mental health, you have exactly the same.
100%.
You're telling me that when when I'm hearing these these stories from the elderly or the seniors saying how their husband stepped out on them, you had to look after someone else's child. You're telling me in that moment you weren't low. You were low. You had to carry on, but you were low. Whether you recognize you were low or not is a different thing. God forbid, have to go through that situation, I would have to say, okay, Talitha, you are depressed. I'm going through a low period. I am depressed. Whether I need to seek counseling because of that, whether I need to be on medication because of that, that's now when it becomes something personal, and it's different from person to person. But I think this whole narrative, this is why it's something I'm passionate about and get really frustrated about, is this whole narrative of brushing things under the carpet and things like that. Call a spade, it doesn't mean that you're now on the brink of having to be sectioned and things like that. I think that's the narrative 100%. That is sold to us, especially in the Black community, of what mental ill health is, and that's not the reality of it.
And
just like how
else...
you may have a cold, just like how, and this, and I think
I wanted to add something to what you said as well
with physical health,
yeah,
and like the whole thing, you know, like this whole fat shaming or body positivity, things like that.
Yeah.
If you say you've got lung cancer, for example, and you recognize you've got this disease, this problem, you can either do nothing about it, or you can, okay, say if you are smoking, you could stop smoking. That would help.
the amount of times I think
problem,
that
you can still, that will still be beneficial. It's still a beneficial thing to do. You can obviously go to the doctor, see whether you need like surgery or radiotherapy or whatever. It's the same thing with your mental health. It's, you could be told you have something.
Justin. Sorry, his eyes were closed.
Eyes have been closed.
Go on.
Mental health, it's the exact same thing. You can recognize you have something in this phase that you are in your life. It doesn't necessarily mean it's now going to be a chronic diagnosis or whatever. You still need to do something about it. Don't just be self-aware. Episode, that's what I want people to understand, is being self-aware. And it's obviously like people say it's okay to not be okay. Like, it is okay to not be okay. Do something about it. Don't just...
100%.
And I think that's the thing with social media.
It
can lead you to like self-help groups and things like that. But it doesn't just stop there. You have to actively do something about it.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to add as well, like when you talk about... So, for example... Even around sectioning, I think there's too much of a stigma there.
Definitely.
Like, what I didn't realize until recently is that you could self present. I know it's kind of hard because of how limited. So, like, I don't think sectioning, unfortunately, is viewed. I can see why it's viewed the way it's viewed, because sometimes the time that we're most aware of it is when there's a crisis that's happened. But sometimes a person knows, oh no, I'm not okay, and I know that, like, there's a crisis coming, and a person can self-present themselves, can self-section. I don't know if it's, is that the right word to use?
It's not the right word.
Self-section is the wrong word, but like, they can present themselves to a mental health
self-referral. You probably call it like a self-referral.
That's the word I'm looking for. So, and it's nothing like we think it is. It's not what I thought it was. It's not like it's not like the cuckoo's nest. One flew out of the cuckoo's nest. It's nothing like that. It's those films do a lot to.
Yeah, I also obviously, you know what it is. You know what makes it worse as well. When you try and refer people to like mental health services and stuff, there's always a flipping waiting list. You get me. But okay, just find someone that's safe to confide in. If you're in school, it's a teacher. If you can't do it to your family, try and find someone else. If you're in church, just find the auntie, bruv. I know it's probably hard or something like that now, but like, literally just reach out to someone that you feel like is sensible. If you're, and preferably maybe of the same gender as you as well, innit? Because obviously there's whole nuance to that as well, innit? But I just think in terms of, so like, now I kind of want to switch in terms of talking about
it. And just before you switched out, I... I wanted to like touch on the social media aspect again, just a little tad. So like, one of the things that's interesting is, so I do believe, I agree with Talitha that, and yourself, that mental health has always been a thing, but like, maybe we haven't had the labels for it in the past, and people haven't spoken about it in the past. I also do feel that it has also increased, and partly from, I don't want to say personal experience.
Yeah.
Possibly partly from personal experience, but also from statistical analysis of the issue.
Alvin,
you know, me and my statistics. But like, social media has had an impact on, because it's something that's so new. Like it's a weird thing to be able to, for all of human time, people have had 10 friends. And I'm saying that, I know that's a number that I'm throwing out, but like as a random number, but like, it's just as an example, we've had smaller social circles and now we're exposed to being in touch with a colossal amount of people. And oddly, we're not more connected by that. We're actually further removed.
Less connected, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we don't fully yet realize the impact of that, although we're starting to. We're starting to see the impact of, especially in younger people, in how self-esteem is very much tied to numbers and buttons. So that like, you post something and you're like, oh, how many likes is it gonna get? Tracking. It's tied to things like that. And then on top of that, social media by its nature presents everyone's best image. So that we never ever see, so that our impression is that everyone is fine of the time.
Do you not?
Just sailing high and like, these people have got this house and this is going on and they're on holiday and you don't realize, this is holidays from like, it's the same holiday, just different days. And they've been posted a year apart and you're thinking, how is this person on holiday? I can't make, but fake, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to say there was a picture that was on social media it was about social media though, but it's very interesting. So it was an apple, the apple was in a mirror and there was a bite out the back of the apple, but the front of the apple was just
perfect.
You get me? So obviously I feel like that illustrates a lot of people's mental health as well. A lot of people put on the perfect front, you know, calm, but then, you know, behind everything, you know. And that's why I kind of want to turn in terms of like to like church and like the Bible. And we mentioned, like, I know Talitha mentioned Elijah. I wanted you to like expand on like why did you pick him.
So if we like look at I'm going to be referring to like 1 Kings chapter 19.
Okay.
So we have a situation where Elijah has fled because he's fleeing from Jezebel and Ahab.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jezebel sends a message to Elijah and says, "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them." So this is, so basically, I think, is this with the, I'm trying to remember the previous chapter, 1 second. Yeah, so is that previously at Mount Carmel, where they had, I guess you have the battle of God versus
Satan.
God versus Baal.
Obviously
God wins.
Oh, okay.
So Elijah was afraid. So I'm reading from NLT. What's that? New Living Translation, that's it. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. So remember that he was traveling all day. So he's very, very tired. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. So he's feeling suicidal. Okay. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Verse 5 says, and he...
Oh, Sorry, internet.
Sorry, one second. You're going to need to repeat verse 5. You're going to... Hold up a second. What go on here? Be still and know. It's all good. No worries.
But basically, wait, should I continue or...?
Camera's just popped out, but you can continue. Okay. He's popping back in, so you can continue.
Okay, cool. So basically, with this story of Elijah, you can see, and like understandably so, I would definitely say that Elijah was afraid, and I would say that he was depressed. He was alone, people are trying to kill him. He's in a very desperate place. He's in a very, very desperate place and no longer wants to be on earth anymore. And it's just this, I like this story because I just think that, I mean, maybe people may not have felt as extreme as this, and I'm saying extreme in speech marks just because it's like, obviously it's relative for a person. But I've definitely been at places where I'm just like, okay, God, things aren't working out. Like, I don't really want, I don't really want to be here, but the situation isn't great that I want to show my face in. Basically, I'm a bit ashamed of, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting because as I'm not saying, again, definitely an advocate for, you know, skin help, you know, medication and different therapies that they're talking therapies. But there's a principle here that I think it's important, which obviously feeds into what we believe as Adventists with the health message, is that rest and food is very important. Like, even though Elijah is going through this very, very deep and dark place, it's a reminder that we still, our physical and mental health are connected.
So
look after your physical health, your mental health will also be affected as well. And even though Elijah's mental health, I would say, is low at this time, God tells him, or an angel comes to him and says, get up and eat. So he tells him to rest, first of all. He tells him to rest. Look after your body. Rest.
Yeah.
Sleep. Rest gives you clarity of thought. It may not help your mental health problem. It may give you clarity of thought. If you make a decision when you're tired, it's never a good decision. I'm telling you that for free.
If you make a decision when you're what? Sorry. When you're tired.
So,
is that what you said?
If you're tired, it's never a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out to all them late night decisions I've made.
So rest.
No cap.
Yo, decisions after like.
And the second.
12.
Go on.
Sure, I'll show up.
Now I'm gonna keep it short because I know my internet's terrible, so I don't want to keep talking and it's just going all mad. And the second thing is eating, in terms of eating healthily as well. So I like this story because I think it's important that, just to emphasize, obviously physical and mental health impact each other. And naturally, when people have mental health problems, then usually their physical health also suffers. So it's just the importance of making sure that as best as you can, even when you're going through your down periods, that you do look after your body and look after your physical health as much as possible. And of course, rely on God, just like Elijah did. You know, he called out to God. But God will, of course, always be enough. But then God has also blessed us with resources that we should also use.
And instruction
as
well.
That's what I wanted to say.
I was going to say, it's so interesting that you point out that, you know, sometimes, like, God doesn't always work a miracle in that he does something that's out of the ordinary, as in, like, he does extraordinary, yeah, that's the word. He does something extraordinary in that true sense of the word, something that is outside of the ordinary, like a miracle. Sometimes God says, like, as you point out with Elijah, go and rest. And if Elijah disobeys, he stays exactly where he is or gets worse. If Elijah obeys God at that point and he goes, okay, I'm going to rest, he finds himself in a better situation. Then God says, eat. Elijah eats. He finds himself in a better situation than he, that purely because it's following God's word. The other interesting thing is like the when you mentioned like the biological relationship between mental health and physical health, like almost at a practical level, there are things like exercise produces hormones that make you feel good. And if you are feeling low, as you said before, the situation may not change. The situation will be the same, but you'll certainly be feeling better than you were before. In certainly in a physical sense, possibly not in a mental, but I think everything to make it a little bit better helps.
Definitely.
And one of the things I've realized as well is like, when our mental health is not there, is when we're not mentally at our best, we stop doing the things that will make us feel better. Mm-hmm. So like it's so funny. It is at that point that you think, like, when your mental health starts suffering, you're like, oh, I'm just gonna stay in the house. I'm just gonna stay in my bed. I'm not gonna open the curtains. And yet sunlight has an impact on mood. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep the curtains shut. I'm not gonna eat. I can't be bothered to eat. I lose appetite. Or everything that's gonna, it's almost like it's a positive feedback loop in that, like, we do things that make, and we do things without thinking that make us worse than we are. And
which can be explained by the actual problem itself, like say it's depression, those are classic depression symptoms. But then also it's like, if you're aware of that, I know obviously it's easier said than done, I know that.
Yeah, 100%.
But then it's like, you can, what's the word? If you're aware of it, then you can make active changes if you're in the mind space to do that, if that makes sense.
And we can, there's things that we can force ourselves, like, I believe that there are times when we have to force ourselves to do things that we don't want to do, in a positive sense. So, like, there are times when, for example, exercise. I know that there are days when I've been beaten, but I'm like, I'm not going to run. But there are days when I've gone, I have no inclination to run at all. But then when I've gone and run, and I've felt the better for it, one, but also it was necessary, even though I didn't want to do it. And there's times when we don't want to eat, but like, we need to eat. There are times when we don't want to sleep, when we've got that assignment and the date of it is looming, and we're like, I don't want to sleep, but you need to sleep.
Yeah.
And all sorts of little things like that. Yeah. Where for our own sake, we need to basically get on and do those things.
So full circle, innit? Like health and then mental health, innit? You get me? Like, I just think in terms of even like my own mental health, I haven't so much paid attention to it, innit? Like, I'm a bit, at times I've kind of felt like you in terms of like what Talif was saying, like, not that like I want to like die or anything, but it's kind of like, could I be someone else more in a sense, innit? Or like, I think with my thing, like, could I just jump into someone else's body and be successful like them? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's where my kind of low states have kind of come from, innit?
From envy, basically.
Yeah. Like, envy. But yeah. Do we have another question?
I have a Bible verse and I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah.
Dash out.
Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes. Sometimes being poor in spirit,
it's back.
I know I've tried so hard. Do you know how much concentration I've tried to just like keep talking, like, anyway, not keep talking, to not break. So like, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That sounds so weird, like, to be poor in spirit, but to recognize that we're poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm trying to find the one that pertains to joy. Is there one of joy?
No, there's not.
Oh, snap. Well, that went down like a lead balloon. Is there not one of joy?
All right, cool. So
you can make one up, though.
Man said make up the Bible, bro. anyway, I think I don't think there's, to be honest, I don't think there's much the church can do in it. Like I've always said, like, in terms of mental health, that the church as a whole, like the building, the organization, the people, I think we are ready for the conversation of just like,
it's the
maybe getting people to volunteer. Like I know there's like charities, like working with charities like Mind,
Samaritans,
Samaritans or whatever, but I've never really seen anything like that been done in it. And obviously we go back to the point of culturally as well, mental health is just something that is just not tackled in it. It is now in our generation and that, but
no, I feel like we try but it's too late.
Huh?
I think we'll try when it's too late.
I think as well, it's funny as well, like in terms of, you know, like when people like, because I've had a few crazy moments at my church, like, and not to call people, but yeah, I feel like, but this is when I was a kid at it, you get me, like seeing people like in distress, you know what I'm saying? And then some people are like, oh, it's the devil or whatever, or like evil spirits. And there's obviously validity to that as well. But I also think there's validity in people just experiencing mental health distress as well, innit? You get me? And I think as a church, you just have resources that maybe just teach people how to even manage through this time.
What Cam is saying is stop giving excuses and fix up and work on the problem. That she's talked to the people. There's nothing wrong with talking.
Sometimes I think to myself, like we don't need, like, there are things that we can, like, joining organisations, volunteering and stuff. But sometimes something as simple as pick up the phone,
hey, how
talk
you
to
doing?
Your friends, and just check up on people and say, "Yo, how are you getting?"
Do you know? Do you know? I was in the park and just now, and I was having a conversation, and we was talking about like people disposing of people, and it, like, we live in a very like.
We're not talking about any crime.
It's basically talking about we live in an age where people are just ready to dispose of people, in it. Yeah. You get me? They do one thing wrong, I'm just ready to dispose of people, in it. And I feel like sometimes we do that. Maybe sometimes I feel like people, especially like the culture on like Twitter or social media, is if someone like offends you or something goes on in the friendship or whatever,
it's quick, like, to cancel.
Yeah, like I saw people talking about in terms of if your friends ain't checked up on you, then they're not real. But how do you know that they're not going through something? Very selfish mentality. You get me? I just always thought, you know, if you're not messaging me, I'll message you.
Yeah,
it's probably.
Is that something like emotional maturity? That is
too proud. We're too proud.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin called me this week. You get me?
I didn't get a phone call. I'm just saying. No, I'm joking.
<Not too.
laughs> Nah, I've been.
Nah, you know what I'm saying. But like, there's times where sometimes you just make like a little 15 minutes, a little 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing, literally. Yeah. Like as we get progressively older, or whatever, and you know, man start to get grey hairs. I got one already, but yeah. Men start to do all of that, and that we get busy, and we're just gonna forget about people. You know what I'm saying? Naturally,
and it's not even deliberate. And then I think to myself, gosh, I haven't spoken to so many people, and I'm like, will they even call me their friends? So easily done, and it's like it's because like you like your own life gets either really busy or like just stuff happens where you're like it's just one thing after another, and you're like. And you're just trying to like tread water, and then to add on top of that. But maybe I need to make an effort as well. To be fair,
but that's why the group chats. I would say stuff like group chats are kind of good because you can just drop a little message in the group chat like, "How's everyone doing? Is everyone good?" Yeah. And obviously, people would see it and be like, "Mad." That could change someone's mind. They're like, oh, he's checking on me. It doesn't mean you have to put something, but you like or reply back.
Mm.
Or even if people don't reply back, it doesn't mean anything. But the fact that you knowing yourself that you kind of checked upon the man them or the people in that group chat, then you should be like kind of comfortable with that or settled with that. If that makes sense.
Any practical things?
Before,
unless you were gonna go somewhere.
Just one more thing about I just think it's. Obviously, I remember saying maybe a few weeks ago that there's no safe space on the internet, innit? And I think there's room to maybe share your story on the internet, but don't trust the internet, bro. Because the internet
don't even share on the private story.
What the internet will do now, is like for example, the Nella Rose thing now, that happened time ago, and she basically. Like, she's an advocate for mental health anyway. Like, she'll talk about stuff like that anyway. But, like, the internet will talk... My point is, the internet will talk about safe space, be kind or whatever. And then next minute, they'll be tearing down people, telling people to die. And
it's the hypocrisy of it all.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why, like...
So the internet, and especially Twitter, Insta, Shadeborough comments are the rudest, you get me? So, I would say... It's definitely, I see platforms on there, whatever, that say like, okay, it's a safe space. And I think in a kind of way it is, because you can make a video and share your story, you get me, which is good. And people need to hear more stories so that they get encouraged. And I do think there's a place for that. But I think to say that the internet is a safe space, it's a lie.
Big lie. And also, I'd say there's nothing like face-to-face communication or voice-to-voice communication. I think one of the things that I think has damaged, or one of the things that's added to the problem with mental health, is the fact that we no longer have face-to-face communication. And our ability to communicate has also been impaired as a result, because we don't express, like, people can be sat in the same room. People can say, have you ever been to a restaurant and seen people on a date, but they're on their phone? Oh, have you been there? No,
I haven't done it for the whole, no, I'm lit, you get me, don't get interested in it, I'm lit, but sometimes I'll just check my phone. But I remember one time, I was on a date, and
have you been told off?
No, I don't get told off, I'm a big man. Anyway, let's move on, but I've been on a date.
Cam's happy that it cut. So recording wise,
I'm happy still. But yeah, so I've been on a date now, and literally, my girlfriend has said, we both put down the phone and put it on like flight mode and stuff, and just whatever in it. And it's just important to actually, I'll do that at certain times with like my friends' wife. Like, I really want to chat to my friends and that. The phones won't be out really like that. And some of the funniest conversations that I've ever had, bruv, I've been literally in tears, bruv. Yeah. My belly's been hurting or whatever. It's been when there's nothing around, bruv, but you and just foolishness and laughs, bruv.
And vibes. To be typing, the conversation is such a forgettable conversation. If you're like a conversation that's like a typed conversation, whereas I've had conversations, well, a lot with you, various people, conversations that are sometimes they're frivolous, sometimes they're meaningful, sometimes whatever they are, but they're always the conversation where you can hear inflections in the voice and you can...
Man said inflection, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So the girl out there, Alvin likes your inflection.
You could see... Hi. You could see people's facial expressions and all that jazz. Like, that makes a world of difference. Like, and then on top of that, you're not dealing with people's like negativity in people's comments, like where luckily the smaller the circle is, the less likely it's to happen, but like the more people there are, you're more likely to run into comments that are discouraging or people saying all sorts of stuff to and being bullied as well is a big issue, especially online, especially for younger, like
Do you know what I want to say on that as well? In terms of like, okay, if you're a young person, bruv, and this may be like extremely ignorant to say, innit, online, Instagram doesn't control your life, innit. I got Instagram when I was maybe 17/18 years old, bruv. I was very late to it, innit. You get me? But
it's now TikTok. It's a turn. Tweak that. TikTok doesn't control your life.
TikTok don't control your life, bruv. If you're getting bullied on, if people are saying mad stuff to you on TikTok, come off the app, bruv.
Come off
the app, yeah. And then go find some real people. Because you see, real people don't say stuff like that in your face. I came from, like, when I was in school and that, people would say stuff to your face, bruv. They'll tell you ugly to your face, bruv. Man will tell you fat to your face. Man will tell you whatever to your face. You get me? Yeah, we had online stuff, but it wasn't so much the online wars in it. Like,
MSN, Messenger?
Yeah, but bruv, like, you had to, but even for then.
But it was face to face? Yeah. Or voice to voice?
It was, like, at the very least. But that's what I'm saying. So, like, no one can cancel me, bruv, because I'll turn off the app. You get me? And then there's no such thing as cancelling then.
True.
You get me? True. So that's my whole stance on it. Like, obviously record it in terms of, like, screenshot what they've said to you, send it to your parents or whatever. But then after that, bruv, just allow the app. I think the last thing we need to tackle is, like, what would you, if someone's sitting in front of you and it, and they're dealing with something, like, what's your advice to them?
Bang him in the face. Oh, that's dealing with something.
About, like, mental health and that, and, like, if they're, you know, all the examples that I've previously spoken about or whatever, whether listen. It's like,
yeah, just okay. You can do really just listen.
Just listen.
Yeah,
listen. And if you feel, don't use. I hate when people like try and
go on.
Just even that, but even if I hate you when people say like, just give advice based on like the fact that they're just like there. Like sometimes it's just good to listen. If you have something to say, and you've been through that situation yourself, then obviously say something and say what you've gonna do with it. Don't make it about yourself though.
Yeah.
But like, always like kind of make sure that you're there for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right, never like go on a whim and be like, yo, just.
If you're in a situation where God trusts you to be in such a position where he sends you someone who's like in trouble or in a vulnerable situation,
yeah,
ask God for discernment. Ask God to help you keep your mouth shut when it needs to be shut. And if he has anything to say, and because to say something is so is so dangerous, you don't. Like, you never know what impact your words won't have the impact you want them to have. Mm. Most likely you think that they will, but they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So ask God to give you his words. Ask God to, if you're to say anything, ask God to say, Lord, you speak through me. If I have no impression to say anything at all from you, keep my mouth shut. Ask God to help you see what's going on. In terms of like a mental health first aid point of view, if someone does come to you and say that they are feeling suicidal, it's worth asking them, like, have they got a plan? Have they got...
They say that, you know, like, they say, like, do you feel like killing yourself now? Yeah,
it's such a weird... It's a weird question to ask.
It's weird, but they say to ask it because normally the person will give, like, an honest answer.
Yeah. They will. Yeah.
And it's mad. And normally, like, in like for example, yeah, like you just wouldn't ask that question.
Yeah,
forget church. I was gonna say church. We wouldn't ask. Yeah. But generally, no one was brave enough. I don't think I'm at this stage brave enough in my life to ask that question to someone. But I've heard it works.
It really does. It really does. Like
if you ask them, have they planned it?
Yeah.
Was it in like? Is it something that's premeditated? Yeah. It's crazy that sense of vulnerability and trust that people have. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think if I was to speak to someone that obviously isn't here, whatever, listener or whatever, I'd just say that it just sounds mad cliche, but you are a value in it. No matter if there's nobody around you, you are a value, bruv. Like, doesn't matter if there's no family, and if you ain't got no family, no friends, whatever, you still are a value. And you're valuable to God. That's it. Like, I don't think I could say anymore.
So much so that he'd die for you, man.
Yeah.
All women.
Yeah. I just think you've always got something to live for. And that's easier for me to say, I'll admit, because I've never been in certain situations, but it's still, the statement doesn't hold any less truth in it, because I haven't.
You know, I always remind myself is just as quickly as things can be dark, can get dark, the sun sets at the same speed as it rises.
I would say as well, write down what's going well in your life, innit? So for some people it's, I woke up, I could eat, my body's healthy, I don't feel any pain. Literally write those things down, you get me? Don't necessarily write the bad stuff down. Obviously, it's good to obviously. I'm a believer in people. Some people, it's good for you to write out your feelings and stuff. But document, literally, make a list every day of what went well, what went well, what is good, and if nothing went well, what is good with you? And yeah, I think that's it. You know. I think that's it, yeah. And then, but yeah, that's been the After Sundown podcast.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
It's been After Sundown podcast. Myself, Cameron, Big Sexy, and Matt, Justin,
tired guy,
Baby Thanos, and the intellectual.
Alvin.
And we're out.
Safe, people.